service begins with your white bulletin insert. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I confess to Almighty God, before all the company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned exceedingly in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray, Almighty God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son, to have mercy on me, forgive me my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The introit. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. My soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. O Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. We implore you, Almighty God, to look upon the hearty desires of your humble servants and stretch forth the right hand of your mercy to be our defense against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for a coolie is from the 8th chapter of Exodus. So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be.' And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies." This is the word of the Lord. Was from the fifth chapter of Ephesians. "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." This is the word of the Lord.
Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, so our eyes look to the Lord our God.
According to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. And Jesus was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against its house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub,' and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter there and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first." And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. The sermon text is from St. Luke, but when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today, God calls men into the pastoral office. It's by means of an external divine call that's made through a congregation. The members of the congregation vote and send out a call. In Augsburg Confession, Article 15, it says, "It is taught among us that nobody should preach or teach or administer the sacraments in the church without a regular call." And so it is this external proof that God intends to use that particular called man to create and strengthen faith in his members. That proof is of great comfort both to people and to the pastor. Now, in both the Old and New Testaments, God called prophets and apostles, not immediately as he does with pastors today, but immediately. That is, he didn't use the means of a vote or of a congregation. He spoke directly to the man. Moses was called by God in the midst of a burning bush. Saint Paul was visited by a bright light on the road to Damascus. Although quite effective and comforting for the prophet or the apostle, the people needed some proof that God had actually spoken and sent this man of God. So, normally, God used miracles to convince the people that a particular man had been called by God and that they should listen to him. Moses and his brother Aaron were sent by God to set his people free from the land of Egypt, and God provided them with miracles. And says, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove yourselves by working a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and cast it down that Pharaoh, before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.'" And so Moses does do those authenticating miracles. And you might think that Pharaoh then would submit to the will of God, but he doesn't. And so he has his magicians mimic these miracles. And the text says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he would not listen to them. So here's how it goes. Moses performs the first plague by turning all the water in the Nile into blood. Once again, the magicians do a similar thing by their secret arts. And it says that Pharaoh turned and went into his house and didn't even take it to heart. Moses performed the second plague, which is the plague of frogs. Although the magicians did the same, this time Pharaoh did promise to let the people go if they took away the frogs. They took away the frogs, and when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not let them go, as the Lord had said. Finally, we get to the third plague, which is the sending of the gnats. And it is recorded in today's Old Testament reading that Moses sent gnats from the dust of the earth. This time, the magicians could not do as Moses had done. And at least the magicians are honest, and they declare, "This is the finger of God." But it is stubborn Pharaoh that continues to deny and continues to fight against them. The text says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He would not listen to them. And with this account in the background thus far, today's Holy Gospel reading now becomes clear. We see that Jesus heals a man who St. Luke describes as a mute, not able to speak, and who in a parallel account in St. Matthew's Gospel further tells us that the man was both mute and blind. And Jesus then performs three great miracles. Jesus casts out a demon. Jesus heals the man's sight. And three, Jesus opens his mouth so that he speaks. And it says that some of the people marveled, but there were still some, well, like Pharaoh among them. These unbelievers couldn't deny the miracle, but they kept asking for more. And finally, those who were declared that, well, he must be working with Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And Jesus' response today is especially hard on these who have seen these miracles, and yet they remain unbelieving. Here's what happens. He tells them that a divided kingdom falls. Just as their forefathers sinned, Judah and Israel were divided and conquered. Now the Romans ruled the land, and so he says to them that their little earthly kingdom, which they have now, will be torn away from them. The temple itself and the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed. It cannot stand. Jesus tells them that they will be judged by their own words, the words of their own sons, these spiritual fathers who would reject Jesus. Their sons would believe, and greater miracles they would do. When Jesus says, "It is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, and you must know that the kingdom of God has come upon you," Jesus is telling them that they are being as stubborn and obstinate as Pharaoh was, and they are in danger, if not already there, of having their hearts hardened so much by so many times that they are doomed to destruction. And Jesus finally challenges these leaders. He challenges their spiritual leadership as shepherds of Israel when he says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." He accuses them of scattering the sheep of the flock of Israel rather than protecting and gathering them. This Sunday, third Sunday in Lent, it's a turning point in the season of Lent. Although the Latin name for this Sunday is Oculi, it's the first Latin word in the introit. My eyes is what it's translated. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. It also was previously even called Scrutiny Sunday. In the early church, the catechumens, those who were preparing for baptism at the upcoming Easter vigil, began to be scrutinized, that is, they were examined before the congregation this day. It was an examination of their life, whether they were producing the fruits of faith, producing good works, and that would show us that, yes, in fact, they did have faith. On this day, they would confess their sins, and they would believe in Christ, and then produce a life of good works. So, with that in mind, here again, just parts of the epistle reading. It kind of fits with that announcement to those who were preparing. Ephesians chapter 5 speaks of the believer, kind of an exhortation to them. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. You believe now in Christ. You've been taught. Here is the way in which you walk. For us today also is a day of profession. Jesus has come to cast out our sinfulness, and he has come to open our mouths that we might confess the faith of his church. He has come to open our eyes that our eyes might ever be on the Lord. Be careful, my friends. There are many ways in which you can be deceived. And that is what the devil would like to do now that you profess your Christian faith. You can go on acting as if Jesus needs to prove himself to you. You can continue to ask for miracles from heaven as if the coming of the Son of God as true man born of the Virgin Mary is not enough. You can, as you wait for your miracles you request, you can continue to lead a sinful life and you can refuse to change until God jumps through the hoops which you have determined. Or you can also deny Jesus' motives, declare that he might be in league with Beelzebub. You can declare, you know, Jesus doesn't really know what's best for me. And therefore, you can go right on living in your sin. You can refuse to follow the direction of the preaching because, well, that preacher's simply in it for the money. Or you can try and remain a Christian by your own power. You see, after Jesus has forgiven you your sin and swept out your house, you can refuse the work of the Holy Spirit. You can continue to neglect the services of God's house, the holy absolution, the gathering of the Christian assembly. You can attempt to be a pretty good guy by your own means and your own methods. You can try to become better by being a promise keeper. You can set up your own means and methods of dealing with sin, or you can actually blame others. You can try to deal with it yourself and then watch as seven other spirits return to wreck your house. Without the Holy Spirit who works through the Word, we find that the last state will be worse than the first. Or you can try religiosity. Yes, you can go around saying good things about Jesus and his mother. You will sound especially holy, but you will not yet be a Christian. Here is what Jesus said. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So we begin this service with the words, my help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This Sunday is called a coolie because the only way which we will succeed in coming to Easter with glad hearts is by keeping our eyes on the Lord. Man will be turned back, but those who trust in the Lord will prevail. Our only hope for salvation is the sure word of God and keeping it. The word that says that you are a sinner and have fallen short, well, confess it. The word which promises absolution, that is forgiveness of sins, believe and trust in it. The word combined with water that made you a child of God and gives you the Holy Spirit, live in that baptism. Trusting in Christ's forgiveness, walk in love. The word spoken and the word connected with the visible means of water, bread, and wine, those are the only means God has set up and has promised to use. To hear the word of God and keep it is to acknowledge the finger of God. The finger of God working. It's working in holy absolution. It's working in the preached words. The finger of God is working in baptism and in Lord's Supper. The word of God is where God is mightily working. Luther talks about it this way, hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it, because that's where we find God. When we are blessed by the hearing of the word of God and keeping it, then we will be able to speak about our eyes on a coolie Sunday. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me. For I am desolate and afflicted. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. The tract for today also speaks of those eyes. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O Lord, you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. Psalm 123. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Page 143. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, you are the one who is stronger than any of our problems or foes. Give us an undivided heart so that through the hearing of the word of God and retaining it, our sins are cast out. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, give your church the strength to live holy lives as dearly loved children of light. Give our Bishop James and our pastors Gary and Michael the strength to confess the truth of your word with their actions so that they gather your people rather than scatter them. Motivate the children at our learning center, our teachers and Director Keeley, to live lives of love just as Christ loved us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Give wisdom to the leaders of our nation, our President Joe, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, federal and state legislators, county commissioners, city officials, and all our judges. We ask that Satan's schemes to sow discord and hate may be hindered, that all citizens may live together peaceably. Grant protection to those whose duty it is to defend this nation, especially Danny and Jason and Blake, as well as our police officers, Alex and Daniel. Watch over their families while they are absent. Guide our nation and leaders to use military force responsibly in order to punish evil and reward good. O Almighty Lord God, who alone removes tyrants, stir up your great strength, we implore you, and come and help your church. Scatter the counsels of them that secretly devise mischief and bring the dealings of the violent to nothing. Cast down the unjust from high places, and cause the unruly to cease from troubling. Allay all envious and malicious passions, and subdue the haters and evildoers. Look in mercy on those immediately exposed to peril, conflict, sickness, and death. Comfort the prisoners, relieve the suffering of the wounded, and show mercy to the dying. Remove, in your good providence, all causes and occasions of war. Dispose the hearts of those engaged therein to moderation, and of your great goodness restore peace among the nations. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, your compassions never fail. Give healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, peace to the sorrowful, mercy to every soul that is distressed, that they may find in you the help that only you can give them. Be with our shut-ins, Carolyn and Jean and Violet. Provide for Kevin, Victor, Marcia, Gibb, Howard and Stan, Jack, Levi, Jennifer, Jim and Linda. Provide for our students, for Sarah and Sadie, Jonathan, Kara, Alexis, Benjamin, and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to You alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right unto you.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. You bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life, and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testament. Hear us as we pray in His name and as He has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us.
And the swallow waters,
Thank you.
is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.